Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here. We got a great show today. We got Fry. We got McCorkle. We got Bill Dawes coming in. I don't know where they are. I like your haircut, Bill. I actually like it.
Tough guy. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Was that for a role or is that just for you?
I mean, I'll be completely honest. I was up for a part on the new Walking Dead. And I was like, I'm going to get a mohawk for this callback. And then I didn't get the part, so I feel like an asshole.
Hey, that's a huge show. I thought it was over, that show.
They just keep doing, like, Walking Dead New York. It's like Real Housewives. It's like Walking Dead Atlanta, Walking Dead New York.
Want to hear a crazy story. That guy's wife, the guy from the main guy on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Norman Reedus.
Oh, Norman Reedus, yeah.
His wife is the sweetest woman. Her name is Diane Kruger. Huge actress. And like hell.
Oh, yeah.
She's like Helena Troy and all this stuff, right? All this. So during COVID, I was with my daughter, and we were going to this like thing called Zuga, which is like for kids, like a whole music class.
Yeah.
So I'm always like running late. I always forget the bottle. I always forget something, right? I just, you know me, I'm dad guy, right? So this woman kept like giving me stuff like, hey, I forgot my applesauce. And like my kid was playing with her kid and they were playing and playing and playing. And she was so nice. And she kept saying like, me and my partner, we talked about like I'm married and she had a partner. So I figured she was a lesbian, right? Cause people that say partner are usually lesbians, right? Like,
yeah.
So it was like during COVID, right? And I'm like, I go to my wife, I come home, and I'm like, hey, I met some nice woman and they have a cute kid. And I think she's a lesbian, my partner, blah, blah. And all of a sudden this woman comes with like an invitation, like, and like, not her, like the woman that like the nanny, super nice nanny. And she's like, you're invited to like Chateau Marmont at Diane and Norman's house. Blah, blah, blah. It was like a petting zoo and this and that. And I'm like, this is so weird, right? So we go there and then I'm like, and then I Google the names. I'm like, dude, this is Diane Kruger and the guy from The Walking Dead. Like this is, so then we became like great friends. Like, we were friends anyway. Wow. I mean, we were friends regardless. Yeah. But she's like, I'm over my house and like, we had like a trampoline and she's hopping on the trampoline with her daughter. I'm like, I never thought I'd have Helena Troy on my
I know.
You know, like,
was your wife okay with it? Was your wife, I mean, she's the most beautiful woman in the world, arguably.
My wife, thank you. My wife is very beautiful. Because there was no, it was super like, she's a class act. It wasn't like flirty hot mom. It was like super sweet. I think she's from Germany. I don't know. It just didn't. Those vibes were not given, you know?
Yeah, imagine your wife, I met this really nice guy at school, and it's like comes over to Chris Evans. She'd be like, what the fuck?
Dude, my wife gets nervous, like annoyed if I hang out with a girl that I'm like, you think I would go for her, you know? But then Diane Kruger, like nothing. I think she probably thought that I couldn't get her, you know? But she was so nice. And then I would go to ballet and it would be me and Norman watching our kids do ballet. Me and the guy from The Walking Dead.
Norman's a funny dude too. I used to know Norman back in New York.
Yeah, super nice guy. Like just super classy people.
And, you know, legendary. He's apparently got a legendary hog.
But speaking of Don Fry, but it was also like, she'd be calling me sometimes for like, how do I potty train my kid? And I'm like sending her like the potty princess books. Like you read a book and like your kid goes on the toilet and wears a crown. And then like, that was how to get it like the potty train. It's called
the
potty
train. Is that how you were the kid?
Me.
And Adam Stills and Potty Train.
Yeah. It's called The Potty Princess. She'll love it. And then she was like, my kids got 103. It was during COVID. She was asking me for like, and I'm like, man, like, she's in bad shape. She's asking me, but no, she was a very, very sweet people. Don, how are you doing?
I'm okay, partner. I don't have the exciting life you have, but I'm doing okay.
About the Potty Princess?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Bill Dawes, what's going on with you?
Nothing. Just got out of jiu-jitsu where I'm a terrible black belt. It's nice being mediocre at something, you know?
Well, but you just got your black belt like a year ago, right?
Like a year and a half almost at this point, yeah.
So, I mean, it takes a while. It's like...
Well, you're almost mediocre as a comedian, right? So,
you know, give me five more years. Mediocre.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, what would you do if you had a friend, right? Who, like, anytime you get something...
I don't know what I would do.
Okay, so let's say you had this friend, right? Who's a really good friend, and you have him on your podcast, and you love the guy, and you consider him, like, one of your best friends, actually, right?
Right.
And the guy happens to have a show at the Laugh Factory, which is, like, the hottest show on Wednesday nights, right? And he's always calling you up and, like, hey, man, can you help me get in this club or that club? And you're recommending him all the time for shit. And he has this Laugh Factory show, and he's never asked you to do it. Would you feel slighted in any bit?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, guy's been using you. I mean, guy's been using you for years, you know, and... He gets his foot in the door, you know, and he slams it on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just be in defense of this hypothetical guy. First of all, this hypothetical guy does not book the show.
Oh, okay.
I have two other people book the show. Right. I don't book the show. That being said, Adam, if you're like, can I do this day? I will make sure to get you on.
Okay. So I have to ask you. Okay. Got it. Okay. All right.
You can park cars at the valet that night, you know.
Because Adam, I don't book. I honestly don't book.
Oh, you don't book?
So, all right. No, but if you, because the truth is, I have the relationship with Jamie. They don't. So they're just using my relationship with Jamie to produce a show.
I wasn't going to bring it.
No, Adam, it's totally fair. So just tell me what night and I'll make sure you're on it.
All right, tonight. So I'll be there tonight.
You want to do next week?
I'm gone for a month. I'm leaving on Sunday. I'm going to South Africa, India, and Egypt with...
With Russell Peters, and you're worried about this goofy little showcase show.
have you ever been there? Don, you ever been to South Africa?
No, I heard you don't go out after night. They don't even let you out of the hotel after the sun goes down. So if somebody tries to get you out at night, don't do it.
Have you been there, Bill?
Yeah.
What's it like?
I might have done the same leg. I did Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town.
Yeah.
Johannesburg was the scary part where everyone had bulletproof windows on their cars. And they were like, oh, yeah, we can't drive at night or we'll get carjacked and raped. That's like what every woman said.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, Cape Town is beautiful if you go there.
Who did you do it with?
Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, nice. Was Jamie
back
a big
deal? At that time, because this was like my first year in comedy, it was like 2007. I think he was pretty big then. Yeah.
I like Jamie Kennedy. He happens to be a nice guy. So, have you guys seen this show, American Nightmare, on Netflix?
Yes.
Don, no. Have you seen this?
No.
It's about your penis. It's about your penis. No.
Okay.
So this documentary, and I'm gonna ruin it in case anybody wants to watch it. I don't care.
Yeah. Spoiler. Okay.
But, you know, fuck your, how do you talk about something and not give away the ending, right? But anyway, it's about this girl that was kidnapped, right? And no one believed her. They all blamed the boyfriend. And she told this elaborate story. He told the same story. And they basically, she went on the news and they were saying that she was a hoax and this and that. Turns out she was telling the truth. And there were all these women in Northern California that were kidnapped in the exact same way. And the guy who did it was an ex-Marine who went to Harvard Law School, right? And if you ever think cops are... Look, I'm not for defunding the police. I think you have to pay the police 10 times more than what you're paying them because you're getting shitty police. You're getting people that don't want to do it because they're like, why would I take this job? I make no money. Don, I thought look, a couple months ago, about a year ago, somebody drove into my house.
Yeah.
July 4th, a drunk driver crashed in my house, fled the scene. I got outside. I'm like, "Are you okay?" He's like, "I'm good." He takes off running. It was a black guy. It was about like midnight, right?
You didn't get a visual, yeah.
I did not get a good look at this guy. Didn't get a good look at this guy. And I was like, "Hey, man, are you okay?" He's like, "I'm okay." And he takes off running, right? And I was like, "Where are you going?" And he just takes off. So I found the guy in 12 seconds because his car was there. So I looked up the registration. Right. I Googled his mom. It was his mom's car. 12 seconds. They did not find the guy. Okay. In four, I was calling the police. The guy picks up the phone, volunteer sheriff. I'm like, oh,
fuck, right?
I'm like, hey, I go, hey, do you guys know case number 3-4? Hold on. Let me write this down. Then I had to go to a police lineup with my kid. Right. I thought it was going to be like a lineup of like in the movies, like in Usual Suspects. They held up pictures of 6 different people. Right. And they're like, which one did it? And I'm like, I saw the guy for 4 seconds. And then it goes,
yeah,
keep in mind, he could have grown facial hair or a beard or shaved. I'm like, honestly, I have no idea. So because I couldn't pick the person out, and he hit two people before me. He hit two people before me. They closed the case. So
oh my gosh.
Now these cops on this documentary are worse. They're fucking worse. They were telling this guy, Don, they're like, look, you failed a lie detector test. They told the girl she had been raped. They were like, oh, we didn't find any evidence of non-consensual sex. Like, I've never seen police like this. And the guy's ex worked for the FBI, so they're saying maybe there was some weird shit that went on there. But, Bill, have you ever seen cops like this?
No, I think it's good to finally have, like, one true crime documentary where it's, like, a fake hoax. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it actually happened. Cause usually it's all about fucking hoaxes and people trying to get away with it. There's people who did nothing.
Right.
I've never seen so I don't know what that means, but I thought it was, I thought it was interesting that the one woman who connected it was like some like Mexican lady in like a small town, like 80 miles away. Who's like, wait a minute.
I know a lesbian. I think she's a lesbian too. Cause she was like, my girlfriend got sexually. I was hoping she would steal the girl at the end. Like, but man, Don, if you want to see a good documentary on Netflix,
yeah,
watch American Nightmare, and then go on TikTok, because black people on TikTok are the funniest when it comes to crime documentary, because they're like, oh hell no, let me get this straight, and they just start yelling at you. You'll never get a more honest opinion than a black person on TikTok on a true crime
documentary.
They just start going. Go on.
The best part is people who go, the guy's like, look, I didn't do it. I don't know what happened. Like, bullshit. Look at the way he's saying that. If you were innocent, you wouldn't talk that way. Like, everyone say like, oh, the way they're talking is proof that they're guilty.
Oh, they're like, yo, why is he going like this? Or why is he holding his ring? Like, everyone's a fucking expert. Dude, but this one black girl was like, first of all, honey, I owe you an apology. Like, she's apologizing on TikTok. I'm like, this
here's the worst part about it, Adam. They sued and they got $2.5 million. They should be able to sue for like $50 fucking million.
Yeah.
To have their name all over the press like that as hoaxer.
And there's another documentary I watched, actually. The We Are the World. Have you seen this one?
Yes, I saw it last night. It's so funny, yeah.
What, Don, did you see this one?
No.
So you know the song "We Are the World." We are the world.
We are the children. Right.
So, all right. So I feel like the whole making of it, right? And the Michael Jackson part is the funniest shit. So Lionel Richie is writing the song with Michael Jackson. They have like 48 hours to write a song that every Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, like every bit Willie Nelson, they're all gonna Tina Turner,
Steve Perry,
they're all
Wailing Jailing.
Now that it's summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for sunny, active days. I know I am, okay? And Factor, which is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. Now, number two, number one, it can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered right to your door. You'll save time, you'll eat well, and you'll stay on track reaching your goals, okay? Are you too busy with summer plans to cook? I am. It takes me forever to cook, and I ruin the meals. But I want to make sure that I'm eating well, and so should you. Well, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping and the prepping and the cleaning, okay? While still getting the flavor and the nutritional quality you need. The Factor is fresh, never frozen. Their meals are ready in just 2 minutes. That's right, 2 minutes. Although when I do stuff in 2 minutes, my wife complains, okay? But not with Factor. All you got to do is heat and enjoy and then get back outside and soak up this warm weather. Vitamin D, all right? Looking for calorie-conscious options this summer? You can try the delicious, dietitian-approved, calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. That's nothing. That's, you burn that off, I don't know, jogging, all right? You need an extra boost to support your wellness goals this summer? I do. We'll try the Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein. Hell yeah. Get rough. Look at these guns, people, all right? So check it out. Check out Factor. Head to factormeals.com/roasted50 and use code roasted50 and get 50% off your first box. That's half off your first box. That's code roasted50 at factormeals.com/roasted50 to get 50% off your first box. All right. Check it out. You're going to thank me later. I got this cute dog. She's teething right now, but she's adorable. All right. No more biting. Got to get some chew toys. So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day and check out Factor right now. Yeah. So he starts writing it and Michael Jackson's like, no, let's play with my chimp bubbles. Right. So he starts, dude, then they're writing it. And all of a sudden you hear, shut up, woof, woof, shut up, woof, woof. And he's like, Leonard's like, what's going on? And Michael Jackson's like, oh, my dog is fighting with my parrot because the parrot can talk and the dog can't, right? So then they finally write it, right? And like they write it in like this brilliant song, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, Lionel Richie's like, the records start falling off. They start falling off the shelf. Like, and he's like, what's going on? And they hear hiss. And then his snake comes out. Like he's got a fucking python. And Michael Jackson's like, oh, my snake wanted to meet you. He was missing for 3 weeks. Dude, like dude, then, right? Then, of course, they don't have the song written. So everyone has their own version, right? So Stevie Wonder, halfway through it, starts singing Swahili, right? He says,
of course. So
he starts singing Swahili. And Waylon Jennings just gets up and leaves. He goes, they don't speak Swahili where I'm from. Just fucking
I mean, solid point.
He never came back. He never came back. That was crazy. So Brendan Schaub announced that he's quitting comedy on the road.
That's just a big letdown for all the people on the planet.
And now, if anyone should be here for this announcement, it's McCorkle.
My God. He must be drunk celebrating right now.
So listen, Brendan Schaub, firstly, everyone said prayers for Brendan Schaub's kid. His kid had surgery. I don't know what kind of surgery. It was very vague, but I hope his kid's okay. That's number one. That's awful. And as a parent, fuck. But then he said, hey.
May want to open with that next time. You know?
But then 2 days later, he said, I'm not quitting comedy in LA or California, but I'm done with the road. I'm done with the road, which I mean, first of all, like you're very fortunate enough to be done with the road, you know, because that's
exactly a lot poor of times, guy. You're done with the road.
Yeah. I mean, most comics want to do the road, first of all, in a lot of ways, because the road is where you get good. That's where you prepare. But look, man, I give Schaub credit for a guy who never did comedy to then become a headliner and then have a special in like 2 years is unprecedented, unheard of. That being said, you know, your first hour is always the easiest because it's all and always the best usually. But then when people have heard your first hour, then you got to do your second hour. And that's fucking hard because you have expectations. Yeah. And that's when you have to do the road because you have to work shit out. So I don't know if he wants to, I don't know if he wants to skip that process or what, or maybe his kid got sick and he wants to spend more time with his kid, which, you know, makes total sense. But I mean, if you want to be a good comic, there's really no way around the road, because you're not going to get the time in LA. In LA, you're not going to get 30 minutes. If you're not going to get 45 minutes, you're not going to get an hour. You're not going to get 2 hours. You're not going to get 5 hours a weekend. So, I mean, you know, I mean, we'll see, you know.
Yeah. I also, like, what is the point of that announcement? Did he have to cancel a whole tour that was already set up?
I think he canceled like a week because of his kid, and then he just said, "I'm done with the road."
So he had a whole tour set up. They had to cancel. That's look, one thing. But just announcing that is like, who gives a fuck, dude?
Yeah, and of course, and then people were like celebrating it, and it was a whole Reddit thread, and people are tagging me, and I'm like, listen, I've honestly never seen 5 minutes of this guy's comedy, like, and it's
me
not,
either,
and it's not like
neither am I.
And I'm not saying it to be like a dick. I just don't really watch a lot of comics. Like, the only time I really watch comedians is when I'm at a club, or a comic goes on before me, or it's somebody that I'm like, you know, it's like a Mark Norman or you know, some, or like Dangerfield or somebody where I'm like, I gotta see Chappelle, where I'm like, I gotta see this, you know. It's just it is what it is. Now, that being said, I was on the road over the weekend, and some of these features, right, are hilarious. Like, there was one feature that I had from Canada. His name is Andrew Ironic. And his whole thing was like, he went up there and for 10 minutes just said, abortion's a sin. Dressed up as a priest. Like,
get it?
And everybody was just confused. Bill Burr told me one time, he was in Ohio, and the feature, just to make him laugh, started doing sit-ups. And said, this is the sit-up. Because it was like, the crowd was all fat and like out of shape.
That's pretty funny.
I had this girl. I worked in Texas last week. This girl has spinal bifida. Name is Lila. Really sweet girl. Really pretty.
Oh, I know Lila. Yeah.
She looks like Ariana Grande with spinal bifida. Like, she actually played Ariana Grande. But, and she's funny too. She's always on Alex Jones. She's like a far right. Because she refused the vaccine. Because why should she get the vaccine? She's got fucking spinal bifida. Like,
yeah. Right.
But they were trying to make her get the vaccine to be in comedy clubs. Like, she got banned from comedy clubs for not taking the shot. I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind? Like, you don't even know what this vaccine really, it's only been out for whatever.
Yeah.
This girl's got all kinds of problems. Like, and she had blood clots and she had this, that.
Yeah, you gotta give her a pass for the vaccine. You know what I mean?
But I was fucking with her. I was like, give it up for Lila. She's a walking tripod. Like, I just kept like, and she's got, but she's driving me back to my hotel, and she has a booster seat, right? She's,
yeah.
In like the front seat, because she can't, she's small. Yeah. So she's got to sit in like a kid's seat. And she almost hits somebody within 3 seconds. Almost kills somebody. And I'm screaming, Lila! Because the guy in the bike can like touch the car. Like, She's making it right, and this guy's about to kill somebody, right? And like, she's like, I'm sorry, I'm in a fucking booster seat. What do you want?
That's so funny. Yeah, she's been doing comedy for a while too. I remember her when I started.
No, a couple years. She's only been doing like 5-6 years, but
oh really? Okay.
She found like a real niche. Her and this girl Chrissy Marr. They're always on like InfoWars and stuff, and like you know, there's like I kind of like how people are finally, I mean, not finally, but allowing differences of opinions in comedy, because it seemed like for a while, if you were like a Republican or you were for Trump or whatever, they had no place for you in certain comedy clubs.
Seemed like it. That's the way it was. What are you talking about? Should they shut you down?
Yeah.
But now it's like, if you want to perform with the mothership, you have to think the moon landing was fake.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the Ben Shapiro rap song was like, I think that might have went too far. Now it's like the other way. I think that might have been like, what's it, Jump the Shark? You know, like, did you see that he had a number one rap song in the country?
Yeah, I saw that.
Him. And
I wish he was a little bit better as a rapper. Because I would have enjoyed it.
No, I knew it. So anyway, rest in peace to my friend Jesse Jane, who died over the weekend. You ever hear Jesse Jane, Don?
No.
So when I first moved to LA, Tripoli, Sam, I was broke. Sam Tripoli got me a job as the warm-up comic for Night Calls. And it was this show where it's hosted by two porn stars, Jesse Jane and Kirsten Price. They're butt naked. And there's about 20 girls behind you scissoring, like making out with each other, having sex on a pole, dancing. And the writer for it was Tom Green's writing partner, this guy Derek. So it was beyond goofy. It was the goofiest, funniest, most ridiculous. And they had like,
what was it on?
It was on Playboy TV, right? And they would have, and every topic was like, hey, you know, how to cheat and get away with it. Like, girls, if your man cheats, don't leave him. Blow him harder. I mean, it was just all written so fucking ridiculous, right? Like, and they had like a dick competition where they had a guy with like 1-inch penis and then another guy versus Mandingo. And like, so they hired me to do warm up. So I'm making the crowd laugh when they go to commercials, right? And no one wants to be seen there. Like, because everyone's like either a relative or a friend. They're like, and I'm like, hey, where are you from? And people are like, get out of my face. You're blocking the fucking naked girls. Like, at one point, they had a competition where they had a girl, they had a talent competition. And the girl was a classically trained violinist. And she played Mary Had a Little Lamb with her vagina, right? Mary. Whoa. And it was amazing. And then they told me, they're like, hey, listen, when you come in today, they're going to have a girl play Mary Had a Little Lamb with her vagina. I don't want the crowd going, woo, I want light claps. Like, I want that. And I'm like, where do you ever get instructions like this? Like what? Anyway, so Jesse Jane is the host, right? What's up? By the way, Grant Dawson just joined us. So Jesse Jane is the host, and she couldn't have been cooler. Sweet, fun, beautiful. And I had such a crush on her, right? And then at the time, I was like dating this other porn star, it's called Kehlani Lay. And who told me, she goes, I don't care how many bitches you have, I want to be your number one bitch, right? And I was like, well, I want to be your number one dick today. You know, like, I don't want to call anybody, right? So anyway, so I knew Jesse would like tell Kehlani if I was good and bad, whatever. Anyway, so I show up one day and Jesse's all over me. Like, she's like, hey, blah, 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 let me see your penis and all this shit. And I was like, it was in front of people. I'm like, I'm not going to whip out my dick. Like, I'm at work, number one. Number two, this, like, I'm not a porn star. But they had me do comedy on it, right? So I'm doing comedy on the show. And then afterwards, she's like, oh, you're so funny. So funny. And then she like, drops to her knees, right? Like, ready to, like,
what?
Like, suck me up. I sent you the video, right? And I was like, later, after the show, I totally pussed out. I'm not going to get a blowjob on television. That's just, I have a career, you know?
Of course not.
No. But I'm pretty sure the director told her to do that. Like, hey, see if you can get Adam about it. Like, this is how fucking crazy they were. Anyway, I saw her years later and we were at a party and she was on drugs and it just wasn't the same. It was like, you know, it was just, you kind of.
How did she die?
She died. I think her and her boyfriend had fentanyl overdose last week.
Oh, God.
And so rest in peace, Jesse Jane. Should I cut that story from the podcast? My wife's going to listen to this.
No.
Yeah.
It's in the distant past.
Yeah, it's distant. But anyway, I like tell my wife, I'm like, hey, Bree, Jesse, my friend died. She's like, I'm sorry. She's like, yeah, she's the one that wanted to see my. She goes, I don't give a fuck. Well, don't tell me this shit. Like, so, I had nowhere to tell. Anyway, Grant Dawson, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I think I jumped in right at the exact correct time.
So Grant Dawson, by the way, Don Fry and Bill, he's what, you're 18 and two?
I'm 20 and two.
20 and
hell
two.
Hell yeah.
The guy is a monster. He was at Missouri. And he was a great wrestler, wrestled in college, worked at an old age home where after graduating, he was like a nurse for old people. And then he moved to American Top Team, joined ATT, and was on a fucking tear. And then he was beating everybody, beat Michael Madsen, beat like some like or Mark Madsen. Michael Madsen, I think, is an actor, but
movie
Mark
actor, Madsen, yeah.
He beat all these great guys. He fought his last fight against Bobby Green. He lost in 30 seconds. I think he just
33 got seconds.
33 seconds. And I
don't
think
make me out here sounding like a pussy, man. I can last longer than 30 seconds.
Yes.
You sound like my wife right now.
Hey. Yeah. Now, and I'm pretty sure you just got caught, right?
I mean, yeah, I think it yeah, I got hit with a punch. I thought that I did everything right, and he slipped my jab and caught me with a straight cross and just put me down, man. It happens.
But you weren't out cold, right?
It was a good stoppage. It was one of those things where it was like, I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to throw jab overhand because he's like leaning back too much, and I'm going to really step in hard on my jab. And then as I was stepping in, like, just flash, and all of a sudden I was like looking at the ground and I was like, oh no, man, I got knocked out. That's terrible. And then I heard this like thud, and I was like, what is that? And I realized it was him, the top of my head. And I was like, oh shoot, the fight's not over. And in my head, what are you doing? I'm dead. Like, save me. Like, what are you doing, bro? But yeah, it was, you know, a learning experience. It was my first UFC main event, so that kind of sucks going out like that, but it is what it is, man.
Don, has that ever happened to you, Don?
I don't know. Has what ever happened to me?
Have you ever been like knocked out or knocked down and you hear thud, 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 and it's like your head?
Yeah, of course. Yes, of course.
And then what? And then how did you deal with it, Don?
Both wedding nights that happened to me. Yeah.
So Grant, so how did you deal with it? Because I know you got a lot of hate. People were like, you fucked up my parlay. People were shitting on you on your Instagram. How did you deal with all this?
Well, I mean, they shit on me when I win too. So it's, you know, not much has changed. I really don't give a shit what other people think. You know, my wife still loves me. My coaches still think I'm one of the best in the world, and I still believe I'm going to be a world champion. So I don't really give a crap about these other guys. Not to like shift things, but Islam Makhachev got knocked out by a guy, and then that guy went on a 7-fight losing streak. So like, it can happen to anybody. It wasn't my first loss, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, it's not going to be my last. If you do this game long enough, which I plan to do, you're going to run into those fights. You're going to lose fights you should have won. You're going to win fights you should have lost. And I'm ready for all of it. I didn't get into this sport to be undefeated and perfect. Mm-hmm. If I did, I wouldn't have joined the UFC, because it's almost impossible to be perfect in the UFC.
What did your coach say to you afterwards?
Man, it was one of those things where it's like, we can't even take something away from this. We can't even like, you know, be like, oh, well, we need to really work on this. Dude, you got caught in 33 seconds. So it's just like, and it's actually quite funny. My two losses, both of them are to strikers, southpaws and black, which is weird. And they both knocked me out in 33 seconds and 30 seconds. So,
well, listen, I've watched almost all your fights, and I know you're going to be a world champion. Like, that you're like the perfect fighter. You have, your wrestling is top notch. Your striking is top notch. Your cardio is top notch. Jiu-jitsu is top notch. You know, I think just you got to work. And even like that punch, Simic was in like the top of the head, or was like the back of the, like your equilibrium. I don't even think it was your jaw, right? Was it your jaw, or was it like the top?
Well, the straight punch was nose, like right on the bridge of my nose, at least from the video. And that's what hurt when I got out of the cage, was right here, hurt really bad. So I'm assuming that's where he landed. And then the top part was equilibrium. And like, that's where that thud was, you know? It's just one of those things, man. You got caught, you move on.
Well, yeah. I mean,
do you feel that same thing if you fought him 10 times, 9 times out of 10, you're going to win, and that a strike of that gets lucky? Is that the feeling?
Well, I'm not a big believer in luck. I don't really, you know, I made a read, he made a read, his read was right, mine was wrong. I do think if we fight, you know, 10 times, I think I beat him 10 with a remainder of one. And, you know, but who knows, man, maybe he beats me 10 times in a row. I don't know. Like, I didn't get into the sport to beat Bobby Green. I got into the sport to be a world champion, and there are going to be bumps and bruises along the way. My plan right now is to get another fight signed, win that fight, and then move on towards the belt. I don't, if they offer Bobby again, I'm absolutely down for that, but I'm not going to be calling him out. I don't really give a shit about, you know, fighting. I have to fight Bobby. I have to show, like, this was a mistake. Like, I don't care about any of that, man. I want to be the champion, and I'm going to lose again along the way. So I'm going to be ready for that too.
I'd avoid contact for the first 35 seconds, you know, and then, move in.
Well, see, that was kind of the problem was, is I was avoiding a lot. I was kind of running away like, hey, don't get hit. Don't get hit. And then the first time I went in, put me down, you know, maybe I just need to like fake a glove touch and then shoot.
I would not do that. Now, Don, have you ever met Vince McMahon, Don?
No. Yeah, I met him twice. Shook his hand, said hi. And apparently I didn't impress him enough for him to offer me a job. So
nice. Was he ever at one of your wrestling matches, or did he ever see you wrestle?
No.
So, okay. So
not that I'm aware of.
So all this crazy stuff's coming on about how he has been sex trafficking. It's a crazy, weird story. I don't know if you heard the story where like he hired a girl that was down on her luck and then was basically paying her $3 million to have sex with some of the wrestlers. And one of them, like,
is he hiring for that position? Jesus. Oh my God.
But he only gave her
a scandal. Just call me.
But he only gave her $1 million. And then there's like, I don't know, all kinds of crazy stuff. One of them was Brock Lesnar, allegedly. All this is allegedly. But allegedly, he had a threesome where he shit on her head. Have you seen this?
Jeez. No.
At least shit in her mouth. What is wrong with you, Vince?
You think that was on purpose or because he's just old? And I mean, like, that could have been like, but he also had his sex toys that he would name after the wrestlers. So he would name the black ones after the black guys and the whites.
No way.
In the New York Post. So I said, like, I would hate to see Sergeant Slaughter, you know? but Don,
is this according to one source? How many people are contributing to this article?
It was in the New York
Post. One woman?
Yeah, the woman said that he would use this different sex toys named after the wrestlers. Don, you ever use a sex toy on anybody?
No. Never had one used on me either.
Missing out.
Grant, what about you?
I said, Don, you're missing out, bro.
Oh, so Grant,
yeah, that's okay.
Grant, you ever use sex toys with your wife?
Yeah, why not?
All right. And then Bill?
Yeah. I love being pegged. Is that what we're talking about? No? Anyway, no, I prefer...
I'm not the only one.
I prefer to keep latex out of the bedroom at all costs.
Dude, there was a girl one time who was on the show Survivor. I'm not going to say her name. She's very hot. And we were hooking up, and she put this, like, vibrating condom on me.
Vibrating condom?
Yeah, so it was a condom, and it vibrates in her, right? And it was like, had like a,
I think we got that from vibrating condom.
Like, yeah,
I think
right. And I had like, but I had like a remote to it and like, you could like,
play. Oh,
but, and at first I was like, really, but then I realized that like, this didn't come unwrapped. Like I don't even
so
know.
It was reusable.
Yeah. I think I might've. Dun, 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 dun. It's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's a ball trimmer sent from space. Gentlemen, our friends over at Manscaped have been working night and day to bring you a below-the-waist grooming experience like none other with their brand new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra featuring the Lawnmower 5.0. We're talking about a next-generation trimmer with interchangeable blade heads for whatever shave your mind can imagine. That's right. Upgrade your grooming game to the Ultra Sphere this year by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code MMA Roasted, high tech for low places, Manscaped. I'm telling you, people, I use Manscaped all the time. My balls feel amazing, amazing, okay? If you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and they put their balls, you put your balls in their mouth, okay? Or they put their balls in your mouth, whatever it is, okay? You want your balls, you want them shaved, you want them feeling good. It's a whole new experience, okay? AI is cool, but I think this might be the biggest technological advancement the world has seen in the past decade. Now, every man knows how scary it is when going for a close shave. Oh my God, I've cut myself. It's horrible. And then the whole day you're like, ugh, just not feeling good. It's just shaving, like your balls are just, ugh. You're wearing boxers and it's just going against you. And you're like, ugh, not good. Okay. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top and a new foil blade for Go Smooth whenever your heart desires. Okay, I'm telling you, they also have the Weed Whacker 2.0, which features skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Very delicate. Okay, so get 20% off plus free shipping with the code MMAROASTED at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code MANSCAPED at, I know, with the code MMAROASTED at manscaped.com. I promise you, you've never seen a ball trimmer look like a spaceship. Get yours today with our folks at Manscaped. You're going to thank me when you have nice, shaved balls that feel really good. Check it out. Manscaped. I think I might have had someone's sperm on my dick after. Like, I'm like,
oh, my God.
I don't know if she watched this. Like, it just, I started thinking about that during, right afterwards, and it killed everything.
During, you were able to block it out of your head, but after, yeah. You're like,
yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. By the way, so I was driving yesterday, and I had my kid in the backseat of the car, and I was talking to this girl about booking something, and I'm like, yeah, let's get a new date for the show. And she's like, okay, how about this date, blah, blah, blah. And then we hang up, and then my daughter goes, Daddy, you only date mommy. You can't go on dates. You're married. And I was like, no, I'm not, not that kind of date. Like, she had my wife's back. So
did it take you a second to realize that she wasn't talking about your actual dates? She was talking about the phone conversation, and yes. You're like, oh my God, how did you know? Oh no, different date.
Yes, it did. Cause okay. That happened. And then she, I got into a pretty bad argument with my wife the other day, and then we like made up, but then I told Violet, I'm like, hey, sometimes mommy and daddy fight, but we love each other. And we I apologized to her, and she goes, I didn't hear you say you were sorry.
Oh.
I was like, wow, I had to say it in front of her. Like, I had to, like, okay. And then
yeah,
I was, yeah.
Sorry for calling you a cunt, you know, 17 times.
So we have our big wrestling tournament this week, and man, like, this, my, first of all, it's not even fair. The way they do it is, like, a kid could, the school could enter as many kids as they want. So we have, you know, 15 kids in the team. Shamanad has 40, and they all get points. So they're going to win regardless, because they're just going to rack up points. So it's not like a regular tournament, because they get points for every match they have. Like, they could wrestle each other. So that's fucking bullshit. And then I haven't even been there to really coach. Luckily, the other coach came back, the guy who got fired because he got kicked out of New Jersey for having a rage problem. For like yelling too much at the kids. And then I hired him. Then he was the high school coach, but he was the girls' JV softball coach. And he got mad and threw a bat and hit a girl on the leg, like in second base with a baseball bat.
Was the girl on his team?
Yes. So.
Oh, see, that's just, yeah, that's not good.
So now he's back, but he's actually a really good, you know, what's crazy. So one of the coaches we had was
the guy you're hiring.
Well, there was another coach who wanted the coach, but he's a gay porn star. So I couldn't clear him with the school. Right. He like, but he was
wrestling gets enough bad publicity as it is. Okay. Like, yeah, I'm for hiring the rage coach instead of the gay coach. Like, come on here.
Well, he's a four-time national qualifier, G1. And he actually beat, he's a wrestler that beat, what's his name? He beat Chaos Williams at MMA. The guy's a great wrestler and a great fighter, but he just does gay porn. So
just for the money. He's not gay, he just does it for the money.
No, he's gay.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get him for the school. And then another guy, Jay Moore, I don't even want to talk about that. And then Mayhem. Like, I go, Mayhem's the most qualified coach. But I couldn't hire Mayhem anyway, because the last time Mayhem made a speech to the kids was like 7 years ago. And a week later, he was naked in a church. So I can only imagine.
Wait, are you talking about Jason Mayhem Miller?
Yeah.
Though all of those kids would be on drugs after the second practice. Yeah, you did a good job. Where do you live? How can you not find a wrestling coach where you live? Do you live in Alaska?
Southern California.
Bro, you can throw a quarter out a window and hit 5 wrestling coaches before it hits the ground. That's in Huntington.
That's like Orange County, where I live, like by Brentwood. I live in the Valley, so I got to drive an hour there. It's actually hard. Like my other guy is great, but he's like an ex Chippendale, may have been a leg breaker comedian, and he didn't pass the background check because 15. I mean, not at my school, because 20 years ago, somebody at the gym was hitting on him, and he threw a weight at him or something, and hit him. So I don't know. He got arrested. So he's my coach, but they tried to hire him over at Harvard Westlake, and which is like the super private school, like $100,000 a year to go there, and he didn't pass the background check, which I was happy. They stole him for a week from me, and I was coaching against him. He was our coach a week before, so his name is Aldo. So I kept yelling during the match, "Do the Aldo double." Do the whole thing. It was the other guy. And then halfway through the match, he like hands me and the other guys, I guess he had extra Viagra. He goes, "Hey man, here's some Viagra for later for you and your wife." I'm like, "Dude, we're in a middle school wrestling coach. You can't hand me Viagra here. This is fucking like not the best time."
I mean, who doesn't have Viagra in their pockets just in case?
Well, what did you want? Did you want some fucking some Molly or what? You know, jeez.
I didn't want. Well, he got in trouble. He had to take a course, a sensitivity course, because I guess
everybody has to nowadays. Fucking a bunch of pussies.
Well, I guess a couple years ago, there was 3 kids named Eric on the team, and he called one kid White Eric, one kid Black Eric, and one kid Mexican Eric. And then,
so what's the problem? Well, what's the fucking problem?
The whole team was calling the kid Black Eric, right? So then he gets an email from the mother, a text saying, "Hey, why is everyone calling my son Black Eric on the team?" And then the mom was like from South Central. So then he like, "Hey man, sorry, that won't happen again." And then his go-to emoji is a black thumbs up, and he sent it by accident. It infuriated the mother even more. But then the mother ended up liking him. Don, this is one of your kind of guys. This guy's the best guy. Anyway, one of the best emails I ever got was from one of the parents, because I flipped out on a tournament, Grant. Like, I flipped out because they made a bad call, and I got a point taken away, a team point, which we ended up losing.
So you're a wrestling coach.
We ended up losing by a half a point, too, which is like kind of my – anyway, so – I apologize to one of the parents, right? I go, hey, Eric, I'm really sorry. He goes, "Hey, man, I love the fact that you stuck up for our kids. We got fucked, blah, blah, blah." And he goes, "By the way..."
Says only Black Eric.
And then he goes, then he writes, "By the way, did you count the wrestling scores? By my calculations, we were up 4-5 before any deductions. The math doesn't work out." And still a little pissed about those assholes for the team. Imagine paying $45,000 a year with all those athletic facilities and coaches and some band of public school kids come in and steal your trophy. I don't think I'll ever witness a more satisfying moment than their Aryan poster child captain being pinned by a doughy little Chechen pit bull straight out of the Ural Mountains. That's why wrestling's so great, because we had a kid from Chechnya, didn't even have wrestling shoes, the kid, and like came in with jeans and was just tossing kids on their heads. Like... to the point where like I don't even know, he didn't know that many. He only knew like whatever wrestling they did over there, like Dagestani wrestling. I guess it's not your regular folk style. But I was like, "Hey, the kid's gonna stand up on him from top. As soon as he stands up on him, he's just gonna launch the kid on his back.
And like a suplex?"
Yeah, a suplex.
Oh my god.
He fucking suplexed him and then pinned them from the suplex. That's exactly what happened.
Oh my god.
But the worst, Don, so I'm sure Grant. The other team, Chaminade, they're teaching head and arm throws now, right? Which I fucking hate, because it doesn't work at a higher level. Maybe it will once in a blue moon, but it works in middle school. So now I got to teach the counter to a head and arm. You know what a head and arm is, right, Bill?
Yeah.
It's a headlock. You throw it.
It's like a headlock with a hip throw, right?
Yeah. So I'm having the kids step over, launch, or I'm having them push the elbow up, or I'm having them roll through. But I only have them an hour a day twice a week. So I got to spend half the fucking practice going over their counter. Grant, what would you do if you were me?
I mean, I teach them real wrestling, man. Like, who gives it? Like, how old are these kids?
11, 12, 13.
I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, they should learn how to you know, defend a head and arm. But honestly, like if it's me, I'm teaching my kids how to wrestle for real. And yeah, like more so how to stay away from the position of a headlock. Right. Because if you tie up properly, it's really hard to headlock somebody. If you don't tie up at all, if you shoot from the outside, it's hard to tie up with people, or hard to headlock people. But I like teaching people how to be good at their, like,
yeah,
do what you're going to do. Don't worry about what other people are going to do. But, yeah, and they're kids, so who cares? It, like,
we had seven kids in a row get headlocked.
Bro, listen, I get that. But listen, man, nobody is more violent than a parent at a kid's wrestling tournament where nothing matters. Like, this kid is going to get pinned, and the only person who's going to remember it tomorrow is going to be you. And you're freaking out about this. Like, yeah, you guys are so crazy. Like, just let these kids do their thing, man. Yeah, I used to coach little kids wrestling, and it's terrible. It's awful. I hated it.
Really?
I hated it. I loved the kids. Hated every single parent.
Oh, yesterday in practice, we had a kid go to his back and he tapped out. He tapped, and I was like, and I'm like, did you just tap?
Wrong sport.
I go 50 sprawl. I right away, I made him do 50 sprawl. And then the other kid goes, I go, why are you? And then of course, I have the kids sprawl with their chest on the mat, but other coaches have them do hip sprawls, but it's a lot easier to do the hip sprawls than to have your chest on the mat when you're landing, you know?
So like burpees?
Yeah, not burpees, but like you hit your chest on the mat, you bounce back up. But other kids are just going like right and left, but then the kids are barely doing it, or their legs are crossing over. And I was like, hey, why are you not doing it right? He's like, it's hard. I'm like, I go, life is hard. Like Candace Owens said, get a fucking helmet if life is hard. You know, like, give me a, I couldn't believe the kid tapped. I was just like.
Kid thought he was playing soccer.
Oh man. Yeah, right. Right. So this week, are you gonna watch the fights this week?
Yes, sir.
Does anyone know about the fights this week?
Don? No, yeah. No. Who is it?
Grant, we'll see if you know any of these people. By the way, Kayla Harrison got signed by the UFC, and can she make 135? Give us the exclusive.
I would assume so. She's not the type of girl that does stuff, you know, emotionally or on a whim. I think that she should be able to make the weight pretty easily. And honestly, I think she has a tougher fight than the champion. So if she wins against Holly Holm, which I think she will, I think she's pretty much already the champ.
Yeah, I agree. I just hope she doesn't get depleted, because she's so good, but she's also a big, strong girl. She doesn't look... But she was saying the girls in the PFL were like 180. They were weighing in at 145 and fighting and weighing in at 180. All right. So Roman Dolitz versus Nazarene Amavov. Do we know these guys, Grant?
Yeah. I mean, not personally, but I study them.
Who's going to win this fight?
I believe Roman is going to win the fight. He's a much better grappler. He's a very good very, very good grappler, and he's tough as nails. Like, he's very durable. He's tough as nails. He's not afraid to get in the pocket and throw. I do think he will eventually get him down and win by submission.
Got it. Bill, do we know these guys?
Well, just tell me what countries they're from, and I'll make a supposition based on their race, which will be better. Like, are any of them Dagestani? Because I'll vote for the Dagestani guys.
Roman's from Georgia, and Nasruddin is from Russia.
That's a tough one.
Very close.
But Nasruddin's not a wrestler. He's a striker.
Oh, okay.
The wrestler wins. Drew Dober, who's probably the best looking guy in the UFC.
If Drew Dober was taller, none of us would get laid.
He's fighting Renato Moicano, when I saw the guy beat Cub Swanson and Calvin Kattar, I'm like, I don't think this guy is going to lose. And then he lost to Aldo, lost to Korean Zombie.
He's better looking than Ortega?
Better looking? No, definitely not.
What?
He lost to Dos Anjos, but he beat Brad Riddell. He's your teammate. How's he looking?
Oh, I know both of these guys really well, because me and Drew are both from Nebraska. So we, like, I knew him when I was an amateur fighter, and we never trained together, but like we would talk about training together all the time. Super nice guy. Moicano is my teammate, and I'm going to say it. I think that Moicano is going to beat him fairly easily. I think that it's a pretty much a lock, and I love Drew to death. I really do, but I think Moicano is just on another level.
Got it. Don Fry?
I don't know either, partner.
All right, Muslim Salikov, who's 19-4 versus Randy Brown. Randy Brown's the guy that like knocks people out like from bottom, like elbows, like he's crazy creative and stuff. But he's been you know, one other guy who's he beat Wellington Turman, he lost to Jack Della Maddalena, beat Ronaldo, beat Chaos Williams, beat Jared Goodenough. So he's won like his last 6 out of 7. Who wins this fight? Grant Dawson.
I'm going to go with Muslim.
Do you know him?
No, I do not. But I mean, I know, like, I don't know him personally, but like, I know his fights and stuff. I think it's a really close fight, but I think Muslim's going to win.
And then Molly McCann, Meatball Molly, is taking on Diana Belbita. She beat her before. Meatball Molly is the girl that's like sponsored by Barstool Sports. She's amazing when she fights over in England. She's like, I think she broke her arm the last time. She got like her arm like broken against. It was.
Why
like,
is she called Meatball?
I don't know. They call her Molly Meatball. I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, this card isn't that great on paper. I'm not gonna lie. I don't really know a lot of these guys, but that means nothing. I mean that because those are the best ones. So Tyron Woodley is mad at Cowboy Cerrone because they got paid the same. And Woodley was like, Cowboy never even won the gold, never came close. Look, I like Tyron Woodley a lot, but it's about drawing power and who people want to see. And I think CM Punk got $500,000 for his first fight. So
yeah. They got paid. They're getting paid the same in what?
I guess they made similar money for their fights. And Tyron was mad because he was the champion and Cowboy wasn't.
But now neither of them can win a fight. So,
right. I mean,
so that's why they're complaining.
I mean, yeah, like, why get mad now? Tyron Woodley says UFC paid him similar to Sony, takes umbrage. Motherfucker never touched gold. That's what he says. This motherfucker ain't never touched gold in his life. That's just a principle thing. Sometimes when you're African American in the game, they think you should.
Oh, fuck that shit.
I'm not appreciative. I'm thankful you gave me the opportunity, but you didn't give me the gifts. God gave me the gifts. I'm thankful to him. I mean, look, I don't think it's because he's black. I think it's because people wanted to see Cowboy just as much as they wanted to see him. So they paid him the same. It's about drawing power, you know. At the same time, it's like, you know, should he have been paid more? Sure. What are your thoughts, Grant?
You know, it's absolutely not. He shouldn't have been paid more. I think there was a period of time where we had like 4 black champions, including him, and all very well high paid champions. And he was complaining that he wasn't getting paid because he was black. And it just didn't make any sense to me. And like, you know, I try to stay away from the political talk. I try to stay away from all of that because I'm not super educated on that kind of stuff. But it's just like, what are you talking about? Because we had DC, John Jones. There was 2 more. And I can't remember who they were, but they're all very like high paid athletes. And it just turned a lot of fans off to him, I think. So I think his problem wasn't his fighting style. It was his mouth.
Right.
So Tyrone has complained about the racial divide financially before in the UFC.
I mean,
you know what? It's your fault for having a bad fucking agent. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You hired a piss poor agent.
And, it's not about race. You got to get a Jew as an agent. Come on.
Oh, come on. Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
I had a couple and they stole $1 million from me. So that didn't work.
No.
Thanks, Don. Great. I'm happy. I'm really happy I brought this one up. All right. So now, have you guys seen the Elmo thing?
No.
All right. Have you
Is
seen
he black or Jewish?
So Elmo, Elmo writes on Twitter, just checking in. How's everyone doing? Right. That's what Elmo writes. And just got America's struggling, Elmo. My dog, just someone said, my dog rolled around in goose poop. Thanks for asking. This guy wrote, my wife left me. My daughters don't respect me. My job is a joke. Any more questions, Elmo? Jesus, man. So, Elmo, we are tired. The world is burning. Somebody said like $10,000 or your fish gets it. It just keeps. Elmo, I'm still suffering from an existential dread over here. honestly, I'm in a really good place. That was from Chance the Rapper. Elmo, get out of here. It's not safe. Oscar was right. It just kept going. Hit this fucking blunt, Elmo. Elmo sold me fentanyl behind Target. Elmo,
oh, man. Elmo had a MAGA hat on and put a noose around my neck. And
oh my god, it's funny.
So what is Elmo's opinion on late-term abortion? I mean, it just keeps it just keeps going. I'm sure he's pretty sure that one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I feel like we all died in 2020. It just keeps going. It's hilarious.
Oh man.
That is funny. What's Elmo? Do you like X? I'm gonna keep a buck, Elmo. I'm not feeling very cash money. Super Grover. He needs to know it's not a game. It just keeps going. All right, so that was Elmo.
Oh my god.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen. So Sam Morril's a very funny comic. He went on the news a couple years ago, and this might be one of my favorite news interviews I've ever seen. If you guys haven't seen it, don't worry, I am here for you. This is what we talk about here on the podcast: MMA and random shit. Here we go. So Sam Morril. Funny comic, if you heard of him. He goes on the Pittsburgh Morning News.
He knew growing up, I might be a stand-up comedian, despite what the odd charts say.
Now, I wasn't always funny, but when I was young, I was molested by an uncle, and that gave me superpowers to be funny, because he was funny. So it's kind of like a Spider-Man origin story, you know?
So, you guys see what happened?
Yeah.
He said, I wasn't always funny. He got molested by his uncle. His uncle was super funny, and it's like Spider-Man. So he was molested by a funny uncle. I think that's brilliant. I think that's one of the, and they were like, okay, well, thank you. So, all right, what else could we talk about in MMA? Oh, so Dana White said Jim Miller made a lot more money. He made millions in the UFC, where in boxing, he would have been a journeyman. And not made as much. And that, I think he's kind of right on that. Whereas I think the top boxers get paid more, obviously a lot more, but it's, but the other guys, the Jim Millers, the guys rank what, 6 through 25, get a lot more than they would have, because it's not just about the top guys. I mean, if you look at a boxing match, sometimes you'll see a Mayweather card and a guy will get $2,000 on the undercard. And the guy's not getting that in the UFC. I'm talking about like the first, second fight out. Talk about that, Grant.
I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot of argument about fighter pay and what they're making. And I think that there's a lot of things that guys don't take into consideration when they're saying that they want to get paid more, because, you know, there's so many things that go behind. If we do get paid more money, there's a lot of consequences that come with that. And the fact that that MMA outside the UFC is kind of dying right now, it's almost a bad idea for us to get paid more. I would love to make more money. If somebody came to me and said, hey, you're going to make more money, I'm down. But it's just, when you start making NFL level money, there's NFL level expectations that come with that. So I think that people aren't really considering all of the outcomes of just, hey, we get paid more, you know?
Don?
Partner, I'm in shock that Jim Miller made millions of dollars.
Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back That's right. And there's no better place to get on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book and official partner of Major League Baseball. And guess what, people? New customers in Massachusetts getting in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. And finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. I love it, okay? If I'm going to bet, I'm going to go on FanDuel. So now, bet on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets. Win or lose, how great is that? Okay, visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. That's FanDuel, the official partner of Major League Baseball. You got to be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. Okay, your first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. And bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help is here. So is hope. Hope and help. Gambling help line ma.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That's FanDuel. Check it out now. Right now. You want to bet? That's where you go.
I don't know what the fuck happened to my check. Jeez. My first tournament in the UFC has guaranteed $500 to walk through the fucking door.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And you
what's
won
the biggest part, right? Paycheck?
What's yeah, the biggest then I won 50.
You won 50, yeah.
50.
What's the biggest paycheck I ever got?
Yeah.
I think 350. You know, and nice. When I fought the banner.
Oh, wait. That was the one where you the number one kickboxer in the world, right?
Yeah,
Maybe of all time, right? Don takes a fight in kickboxing, and he says he's never thrown a kick before. Like the day before the fight. So he takes 37 Vicodins and walks into this fight and doesn't remember what happened.
Don't remember a fucking thing. I woke up half hour later in the locker room. I'm sitting next to Bill Goldberg, and I was already showered and clean dressed and everything. And what are we doing here?
Oh, man, that sounds funny. It's like you're time traveling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, did anyone tell you that coached you and said, listen, man, Don, we love you, but you're fighting the number one kickboxer and you don't know how to kickbox?
Well, I was supposed to fight. Jeez, the fucking ways. I can't remember his name now. I think Ray Sefa. I think I was supposed to fight Ray. And then he didn't make it. So they offered me another 50, you know, to fight the banner. And I said, yeah, sure, let's do it. I mean, because I had pretty much, that was after the Takayama fight, and I had retired, you know, and then they called up, offered me money, and I turned it down. They offered me more money. I turned it down. Anyways, I was retired in my head, you know, and he retired me physically, you know, after that.
Grant, when's your next fight?
We don't have a date yet. I think we have an opponent, but we're not sure what the date is going to be, and it's not 100% set yet.
All right. But what month do you think it'll be around?
No later than April.
All right. So 20-2, the comeback. You're right there, man. What do you rank right now?
So I was ranked number 10 when I fought Bobby, and I lost to Bobby, and they took me out of the rankings.
Ah, oh. How do you go down? Yeah. How is that even possible?
I don't know.
All right.
You know what I'll say though is they did Matt Favola way dirtier than they did me, because Matt beat Drew Dober and Julian Turner, who's ranked number 15 and number 10. He beat both of them. They're both ranked. He lost one fight and they kicked him out of the rankings. Like, so oh, I'm not too choked up about it. Like, it's not hurting my feelings because none of his rankings.
Yes. Now, by the way, so you, Bill and Don, Grant's always asked me to roast him, right? He's like, you better roast me. He's the most normal guy I know. He's got a hot wife who looks like she's 11, but she's, I don't know, she's actually like 20 something years old. She's a fighter too.
That's what we tell people.
She needs ACL. But if you guys could, next time I promise you, I'm going to come up with something. Good.
Grant, you got to give Adam some dirt. You got to give him some personal, vulnerable information about yourself that you can work with.
What do you want to know?
When were you molested and by who?
I think I molested my uncle.
he molested his uncle. Great.
I'm the molester, not the molestee, motherfucker.
Perfect. All right, we'll come up with something. I promise you. Grant, where can people follow you?
Man, if you really want to follow me on something, follow me on Instagram. That's the one I'm on the most. I do have a series on TikTok called How to Make It to the UFC using Fight IQ. So if you want to go check that out, that's getting a lot of steam. And I'm really enjoying doing those videos. So those are the two places. I don't get on Twitter because Twitter's full of a bunch of cocksuckers. So yeah. I'm just ready to get on those and get back into the fight game, man.
And then what do you have coming up, Don?
Shit. I think I may be going out to the Anaheim fight in February. Are you going to be there?
Yeah. No, February? No, I'm going to be in India. I'm going to be in India.
Oh, in India?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Who willingly goes to India?
I'm going with Russell Peters. We're going to South Africa, India.
Don't drink the water.
I know. Egypt and then Saudi Arabia.
Dysentery.
And then, all right. Bill, what do you got?
All right. So I have this Wednesday show at the Laugh Factory at 8:00 that you say I don't ask you to. That's because you're either on a cruise on Gutfeld or with Russell Peters all around the world. And you think I got to like follow you and then ask you, like, you have an opening, Adam. Please come. Just tell me when you want to do it. And when you can do it, I'll put you on. Deal?
Yes. And then we have right now, by the way, we're watching Don Fry fight technique videos.
Nice.
Don, have you seen this?
Not for 30 years.
Whoa.
You have to listen to your body. Sometimes you get up and you say, I'm just too tired. Hey, take the day off. Nobody's going to sue you for it. You know, it's something you have to listen to your body. You have to be aware. Sometimes you got to take a day off because you have to recuperate, not only physically, but mentally. This stuff will wear on you after a while.
All right.
Hips. You got to use your legs.
That's Are you sure this is Don?
This is Don Fry. Fight.
That's a good-looking guy, man. Fuck.
Damn.
So here we go. These are some fight techniques.
If you go in there and all you have is a throwing dummy or a piece of silly putty, you're not going to be a champion. You need good, strong, tough sparring partners who are going to take care of you. These guys don't allow me to get hurt.
This fucking guy, turned into a drug addict, crackhead, and robbed me.
Wait, hold on.
He stole a fucking 50 caliber Desert Eagle from me.
What? Wait, he was a drug addict and robbed you?
Yeah. This is
access to your 50 caliber?
Probably took it off the stand. He saw me hiding it. You know, and I wasn't aware he was watching me, and so
it's becoming family.
And I haven't seen him since.
After we're done with the stretching out routine,
John, you sounded like Mark Ruffalo back then.
Stretching's over.
Let me sound better.
Just crawl in on top, and when they crawl on top, we just lightly roll around. We're rolling around. We're laughing. We're playing. Because this is something.
Sounds gay. This really sounds gay.
To make sure that you have a good time while you're working.
We're rolling around a good time, laughing and giggling.
If you don't, you
know what you're doing. We tickle each other. We lick each other's balls.
Experience. And you're going to get worked out on. What I'm doing here is I'm stretching out. I'm warming the muscles.
What?
What I'm going to be getting into is doing this hard. Right now.
When do you come?
All the muscles I
can. I don't know. After the moment.
Oh, now he's gonna come. Oh, there you go.
Takes a while longer. I, you know, I don't shoot off like you.
Fun and games, people. I'll say a shot to the rib. I may say hammer strike to the head. I may say headbutt, but I never make contact. If you ever go into a dojo and you see two guys on the ground, one guy's on top of him, punching away, grab your gear and get out of there. Find someplace else. Because whoever's running the dojo is an idiot. You don't want to be involved in it. Safety first.
How many?
This man breaks my arm.
Don, how many times does that happen where you walk into a dojo and people are punching each other in the face?
I don't know. Fuck.
Wait, who's this? Where'd this guy come from? Hold on.
Start all over again. Latte, great.
What is that, fucking Chris Farley?
Yeah, that's Chris Farley. Yeah. You know.
Oh, there we go.
Nice.
Great.
Who's that guy?
That's Rich Moreno. Rich, that's a tough motherfucker, man. I'm telling you. He's 330 pounds, but he's a tough motherfucker. Jesus. He's a judokan.
Oh, yeah.
Jujuka.
Wait, now, wait. What happened? Did everyone leave?
Yeah, I turned him into a throwing dummy. Yeah.
I want to see the
magic. I'm using magic, too.
Motherfucker knows alchemy now.
Yeah.
When did you go from sounding like Mark Ruffalo to Tom Waits? When did that happen?
That's what you need to do. You're trying to shorten the time of recuperation.
All right.
What we're going to do here now is we're going to work from the clinch. We're in a clinch situation. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get away. Whatever it takes. He starts up. Simulate knees. Break out. Comes up.
Like
he really needs. I know Andy's shorter than I am. I know that his arms are not as long as my torso. I step back, breaking his hold.
He owns a Desert Eagle.
Yeah. Yeah. So you gotta keep an eye out on that. Fucking A.
Oh, God. Now what?
That's why I never throw a kit.
After the gym, I roll around with my buds. Boom. After that, I go home. Working this bag, not only you develop power, but you also develop the speed that's necessary. Cal's going to come in. Cal's going to hold the bag so that we don't have to chase the bag. This is also a very heavy bag. Hard. So I'm not going to hit it hard.
Is that Kyle Worsham?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That dude's a legend, right?
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, he was a good guy.
I had my hand operated on. I broke it against Tank Abbott or against Gary Goodridge. We don't know. We haven't decided which one it was.
Wait, you haven't decided who you broke your hand with?
No, dude, no. It was good fights.
That was the last time you saw this.
And fucking when I made it. Whenever I made it.
Did you know this is on YouTube?
No, I did not.
All right, we're gonna play one more minute of this. This is great.
Technique factor. As you see, I'm loading up with the power punch. When I hit the power punch, it's a straight punch. See my hips move. I pivot on my feet. I just don't come in here punch like this. This is a technique. This is a technique drill. It's also a conditioning drill. You do this for an hour, it's going to wear on you. I protect myself at all times. As you see, I'm just standing here talking to you. When I throw my power punch, my left hand doesn't drop.
All right, Grant, you hear that?
Punch like this. There's no reason.
Grant, you hear that?
Don't drop your hand. Yeah. Got it.
Okay, all right.
Don't drop it.
So punch like
you
this.
Said if you that's for lucky. An hour, you're going to get tired. I get tired after 10 minutes of that, G.
You did this
just first. Watching it, listening to the bullshit. I was making this shit up as I was going along.
Really? Were you really?
Yeah.
That's 95% of technique videos.
But I feel like this is all true, right? I mean, Grant, is everything Don's saying here true? Grant?
Sure.
Oh no! All right, hold on. Oh wow, that's some good speed right there.
Protecting myself at all times. I come in with that power punch. I want to leave with a jab.
Yep.
Boom, boom. Got to protect yourself on the way out as well as the way in. What I want to do is I want to protect my chin. I want to protect my ribs.
Oh, good. Don, I freaking love these, by the way. And by the way, yeah. this is only volume one. There's actually...
like 20, right?
Yeah, there's 20. There's volume 13. There's all kinds of ones. So every week we're going to go over one of Don Fry's technique videos. For the piece. All right. Listen, you guys are great. I love you guys. Have a great week. Thanks for doing the podcast. You guys are the best.
Good luck. Have a good week.
Thank you, man.
Cheers.